The first reading is from Psalm 138, beginning at the first verse. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Colossians, chapter 2, beginning at the sixth verse. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been fulfilled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith and the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you for standing for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Father, we pray you give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and open hearts to receive what you have for your children this morning. We pray this with expectancy and faith in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It's great to finally join you here for worship at Christ Church. I've heard a lot about you. I'm at All Saints Church down the road in Pawleys Island, and I know a lot of folks here have heard a lot about the church, and it feels like, you know, being with a sister church here, a connected community, which is a great thing in the body of Christ, isn't it? Not to just see yourself in isolation as an island, but a part of the bigger body of Christ. Someone here earlier was asking how long I've been at All Saints Church in Pawleys Island, and it's been almost 5 years now, which is kind of hard to imagine. It wasn't long before that I was actually in seminary learning how to do this stuff, you know? And my wife, at the time, we were living in Ambridge, Pennsylvania. And if you know anything about Ambridge, Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh, you know that you don't see a lot of sunshine during the year in that part of the country. And we had been there for like 3.5 years. And so as I was getting ready to graduate, we were talking about where we might like to be. Of course, we want to go wherever God leads us, but, you know, if we had our way, where would we like to be? And my wife, Carla, said, I want to live near the beach. And so I said, that's great. You know, it's nice to want to live near the beach. And I just want to remind you, you know, we're kind of a small part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to be happy just to have a job after seminary. Maybe asking to live next to the beach is a little too much. But, you know, you're welcome to go ahead and pray for that. And she did. And here we are at the beach and blessed to be a part of the community at All Saints. This morning, we're going to be talking about this passage from Luke where Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. You know, they'd been with Jesus for quite a while at this point. They'd seen how important prayer was to his life and his relationship with God. And they want to know, how do you do it, Jesus? How do you do this thing called prayer? And so Jesus begins to teach them what it's like, not just to pray, but to be in constant communion and communication with God, your Father. Because that was everything to Jesus. If you read through the Gospel of John especially, you see Jesus only does what he hears, does what he sees the Father doing, right? He only speaks what he hears the Father telling him. And he doesn't do anything on his own. He's constantly relying on this relationship he has with God, who he knows as a Father. And it's out of this that he does everything he does, and he teaches everything he teaches. Now, those Jewish disciples of his, it wouldn't be a new thing necessarily seeing Jesus spend regular time in prayer. The Jews at that time would probably spend at least 2 times a day praying. And the centerpiece of that prayer would be what is called the Shema. It was a prayer that originated out of a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6 where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength." That was the centerpiece, along with a couple other passages that they would pray at least twice a day. Now, you might have thought, in hearing that passage, isn't that what Jesus said? Well, Jesus was representing this God of the Old Testament, right? Now, I imagine that part of the reason they wanted to ask Jesus how to pray is not necessarily that they didn't know how to pray at all, but that there was something different about how Jesus prayed. It was like he knew the person that he was talking to, that he actually had a relationship, a living and an engaging relationship with God when he prayed. It wasn't just something that hears the prayer and hears in him. At that time, you know, we hear a lot about the Pharisees, right? When you read through the Gospels, and Jesus had a lot of harsh things to say about the Pharisees. Well, these guys prayed all the time. In fact, they would have these boxes called phylacteries that they would wear on their forehead while they were praying. And in that box, they had written down this prayer that I just mentioned, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, there was a lot of irony there, because even though they had it on their foreheads, they didn't have it in their hearts. They were just going through the motions, right? They were praying the prayers. They were doing their religious duty, but it wasn't something that they were engaging in personally with more than their mind. And Jesus challenges, he calls his disciples in this moment into engaging God with all that you are in prayer. Because Jesus, he didn't want to just show the disciples how to pray. He wanted them to know the person they were praying to. He wanted them to know the person they were praying to, this Father of his, whom he said could be our Father too, so that we might enjoy that same relationship that Jesus has enjoyed with God from the very beginning. And so he starts out teaching them this prayer that begins with Father, right? Hallowed be your name. We just spent time in worship telling God how holy he is, singing about how holy he is, right? Jesus isn't just talking about God's holiness in a sense of his purity, his justice, and all of those qualities that make him who he is. He was talking about how God is unlike any other, because that's one of the things that holy means. It means set apart. It's as if he was saying, Father, you're unlike anyone else. You're not like other fathers. You are holy, set apart. Relationship with you is unlike relationship with anybody else on this earth. And so he says, start by stepping in to understanding who you're talking to and engaging. This is a Father unlike anyone else. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. He says, this is a Father who's also a king, right? Your kingdom come. This is a Father that you want telling you what to do. Now, kids, children, we all have moments where we think we know what's best, right? We know what we need. We know how to do things. We don't need. This is a Father, though, that you want speaking into your life. You want him to have a say, because his kingdom, his presence, is everything. Your kingdom come, he says. And then he just talks about how we can get every need in life met by this Father of his. Provision, give us this day our daily bread. Purity, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, keeping our spirit clean. And protection, right? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. This Father has everything we truly need in life. Everything. Jesus then steps into a story, which he was in the habit of doing. He loved to communicate things by parable and story to help people enter into the reality of what he was trying to teach. And so he describes a man who has a friend come to his house in the middle of the night after a long journey and is hungry. The man goes to his friend, knocking on his door for some bread to feed his friend. And the man inside says, listen, now I know you're my friend and everything, but it's midnight here and I'm already in bed with my kids. This isn't exactly the best time to come knocking on my door. In other words, no. But Jesus says, because, not because it's his friend, but actually because of this man's, and Mike used the word impudence, right? Because of his impudence, which means persistence. And actually the Greek word that's used there can actually be translated shamelessness. Because of this man's shamelessness at just continuing to bang on his friend's door until he relented, until he finally got out of bed and came down and gave him some bread. Because of that, he says that his friend will give him whatever he wants, whatever he needs. There's something about the nature of God, I think, that Jesus is revealing here. This is a father who wants to be bothered. This is a father who wants to be bothered. Now, in our earthly experience, I'm sure on at least maybe a few occasions, you went to your father and he didn't have time. He didn't want to be bothered. He had other things going on. I admit, there have been times, this is not a good time. Okay, come back. Come back later, tomorrow, next week. This, however, this father wants to be bothered by this, by his children. He doesn't mind you banging on his door. He doesn't mind you coming whenever. It doesn't matter what situation or circumstances that you find yourself in. He wants you to be shameless, right? Just shameless in approaching him. Which is another thing I think that sometimes keeps us from coming to our father, right? Because, well, maybe things haven't been going so well in our relationship with him. Maybe I've been doing some things that I ought not to be doing. And so we kind of shy away from our father, right? Because we're afraid maybe he's going to be angry. Maybe he doesn't want to hear from me right now. And yet, Jesus presents this beautiful picture of a father who says, I want you to be shameless in your approach to me. I want you to come to me. I don't care what you just did. I don't care what you just said. Come to me, all right? It's more important that you come to me than it is exactly what you did or what you said, right? Now, Paul got that. Paul in Hebrews said, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can be confident no matter what we've done or said because Jesus has made a way for us to come into God the Father's presence completely clean. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. He wants us to come. He says, don't be ashamed. Come to me. Come to my throne of what? Grace. And receive and find what you need. He wants us to be confident and shameless in our approach to the Father. Jesus then says, and I tell you, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be open. Now Jesus here is appealing to his disciples to come to God with all that they are. To pursue God with all that they are. With their heart, right? Their mind, their soul, their strength. He says, ask. What? We use our mouth for that, right? We open our mouth and we ask. We articulate, this is what I'm going through, God. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need. We use our mouth to speak to our Father, right? He also says that we are to seek, right? Which implies, you know, some movement, right? Using our legs, using our eyes to look for him. So it's not just a matter of just kind of expecting him to come to us. There's something in prayer that is a pursuit. We're going after God. We're looking for him. We're pursuing him. We're trying to draw near to him as he draws near to us. And knock, right? Again, that picture of coming to God, knocking on His door, knowing He doesn't mind. It's okay. Anytime, anywhere, you can come to me. What I really want is you to come with all that you are, with your heart, not just your mind, not just kind of using your brain, not just going through the ritual or the motion, but bringing all of yourself to God. He wants us to be completely engaged with Him in this process, in this gift called prayer. In another passage in Deuteronomy, he says, "Seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him, if you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Who's familiar with Pokemon Go? You don't have to raise your hand to let me know if you have it or if you're playing it right now. But for those that aren't familiar with the game Pokemon Go, it's an app that you play, a game app that you play on your phone. And you're searching. This is a seeking game where you're trying to find all of these Pokemon characters, right? And so you use your GPS on the phone, and you kind of know, okay, there's a Pokemon here that I can capture and get if I go. And so people spend a lot of time looking for these Pokemon characters, right? Trying to capture the Pokemon. This is one of the most popular apps of all time. Just in the last week, I can't get away from hearing about Pokemon Go. Everybody is talking about Pokemon Go. There's something about that process of looking for treasure, right? Seeking something to find it and pursuing something. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. He wants us to go after Him. It's like an adventure. He wants us to seek Him, to pursue Him, right? As if He were a great prize, a great pearl, or a hidden treasure. That's how He wants us to come to Him. This Father, when we come to Him, wants to pour out good things, right? He wants to give us good things, and that's how Jesus sort of wraps up this passage about prayer. He talks about a practical situation. Who, if your child came to you and asked for a fish, would give him a snake or a serpent, right? It's a kind of a rhetorical question. Or if his son or daughter came to him asking for an egg, would give him a scorpion. How much more your Father in heaven, when you come to Him seeking, asking, and knocking. If you're evil, meaning if you in your own corrupted state where you don't always do what you should or respond the way you ought to, if you want to give good things to your kids like I do, I love giving my kids gifts, maybe sometimes too much, that they have in receiving something that they're excited about. This is the kind of Father that we have. He loves giving good things to His kids. And He actually says, you know, the best thing that I can actually give you is Me. The best thing I can give you is Myself. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? That is the greatest gift God can give us. It's Himself. It's that extraordinary thing in the Christian life is that the Spirit of God comes to live in us, make His home in us, so that we can have this kind of intimacy that Jesus had with His Father, who He talked to all the time. His dad, who was like, "My dad's the best. I go to him with everything." Right? Now, some of us, unfortunately, you know, we live in a broken world. We have fathers that aren't exactly the kind of father that they were designed to be and created to be. We have fathers that sometimes represent that position, misrepresent that position in that role in different ways, right? I do with my kids. I make mistakes. I don't always know the best thing for my kids. Sometimes I lose my patience. Sometimes I get a little too angry. I'm not the perfect father, but I do know a perfect father. Jesus is dad. He's a perfect father. And he says, I can have him as my father too. I can know him. And I can enter into a relationship with him where not only do I get good things in life, I begin to discover who I am, what I was created for, and I begin to experience this kind of intimacy with God that doesn't just engage my mind, but it engages my heart. How am I doing? Is a red flag out yet? My son, Alexander, he wants to be an explorer when he grows up. Wants to be an explorer. That's awesome. He also wants to help rescue people, he said. And I think about that, like an explorer is out there searching, right? Doing whatever it takes. Think about some of the explorers throughout history, Marco Polo, Christopher Columbus, the risks they took and the chances they took. And they pursued the goal, right? With everything, with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all of their soul. They gave to this pursuit of that one thing. It was different, the one thing for each person. But what if, you know, God became that one thing that we were pursuing and going after? That we were willing to take any risk for? That we thought was like the greatest prize and the greatest adventure in life? That's what God wants. He wants to be that one thing, that one person that you pursue with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I think, given the situation our country is in, that's probably one of the things that is going to help us if that becomes the one thing we're pursuing, right? We pursue so many things in life, it's easy to get distracted, right? And to go after the wrong things. But God is gracious. Our Father's gracious. He's patient. And he says, come to me. Come to me with everything that you need. I have good things waiting for you. Would you pray with me? Father God, you're a good dad. You're a good papa. You are so much better, I think, than any of us can really grasp or comprehend. And your love for your children is awesome. Lord, would you help us to see you as you truly are? Would you help our hearts, not only our minds, but our hearts to believe there is such a Father out there that loves us the way you do, the way you have, and the way you always will? Help us to have faith for that. Help us to approach you with confidence. Carry everything that we're dealing with in our lives, everything that we're facing and struggling with, everything that we need to your throne of grace. And I pray, Lord, that as we do that, as we pursue you, as we seek after you, that you would pour out more of yourself into our lives, more of your spirit, more of your goodness, your love, your joy, your peace. I pray, stir up in us a passion to pursue you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.